Can I get everybody to say the devil is a lie? The disease really trying to mess with you, don't it, man? He don't want y'all to hear this message. This is not my message. This is the message of my higher power, who I choose to call God. And he don't want y'all to hear the message. But I'm here to report there ain't no microphone gonna stop me to share a message of gratitude for what the program had done for this addict. Now, some of y'all might want to leave because the microphone won't, you know, you're going to want to hear loud, but I got news for you. He gave me a loud voice, and I'm going to share it with y'all. Right? So, you know, I always thank God, right, first and foremost, before I do anything on this side, I thank God for the sweet breath of air that sustains life in my body. See, that's a prayer in itself. You know, we're going to talk about how it works, right? Now, I don't know about you. I remember when, before I got here, people was giving me all kinds of bad information on how it worked. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And usually went along the lines like this. Hit this dog, and you'll be okay. Anytime you had any kind of mental setback, financial setback, boo left, or whatever the case may be. I was hanging around some non-spiritual dudes, but they was really spiritual, and they would say, hit this dog. It didn't make a difference. It didn't make a difference in the drug of choice. I'm an addict. I used hard and long before I got here. I don't ever want to use no more drugs. I want everything that my God has for me. I want to be able to walk in peace today, not in a whole lot of turmoil. So, you know, I want to thank Wanda right off the gate, right, for working through that. But the devil is a lie. The disease, if you don't believe in the devil, whatever you believe in, it's a lie. Because if you ain't look behind you, all you got to do is look at God's glory behind you, and you'll know that the message is going to be carried. It's a powerful, powerful event. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I already asked him to decrease me. So now I got to work a little harder to help you guys understand where I'm at with the God of my understanding. Yeah. I got here March the 13th, 2007. For some of y'all who want to count digits, that's like 8 years. Right? It really don't make a difference because once you work your first step, man, and you realize that you're powerless over the disease of addiction, that you got some power to fight now. Right? And you get with some people around here, and I'm talking about some predecessors. I got with the predecessors early on. I'm the addict who used to ride a bicycle to the meet. Yeah, I rode a bicycle. So I still have trouble sometimes understanding how people talk about they can't get to the meeting. I'm talking about willingness now. I'm talking about, man, I was so tore up. I'm the addict who came from the cardboard box, y'all. I slept underneath of bridges. Newspaper was my shield for the cold. I hung around with people like Ben and the boys. Y'all know Ben. The little dude Ben, the two of us. Michael Jackson wrote a song about it. I hung around with Ben, man. My friends was all kinds of people like Boone's Farm, Richard Wild Irish Road, Cokie 8900, all them people, man. I didn't know how to stop using, y'all. But thank God for the predecessors in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Somebody talked about empathy in here today. People kept coming past my cardboard box, blowing my eye, man, I thought. All I wanted to do was get it in me. Y'all kept coming past talking about, like, less when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I told her, I said, please, will you walk away, man, so I can hit this? But you never stop, man. And as a direct result, the seed was planted in. I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all started watering the fruit. So I'm here now. So you want to know how to change your life? It's how it works. The steps is the key to freedom, what they told me. I believe in the step process. I believe in it. First step, talk about our powers over the disease, over my addiction, and my life had become unmanageable. First step, real deep stuff. She talked about the literature. I hold no apologies for the literature and the way it has transformed my life. I carry my bags. I keep my tools with me. Because every now and then the disease want me to not misquote something. It want me to share something that ain't a message of hope and somebody might die. I understand the responsibility that he's given me as far as standing behind this podium. See, it's real important that you understand that I didn't choose to be here. I told you all I wanted to do, I was comfortable in the box. I didn't want to open my mouth. I didn't want to share about the gift of recovery. I didn't want to be at Ocean City Convention. All I wanted to do was keep using. So the first step, talk about what is the disease of addiction. It says it's just that something. A lot of times we come in here, and I remember early on, I thank God for sponsorship. I'm well sponsored. I got my grand sponsor over there, my sponsor in the back. And as a matter of fact, I'm not so caught up that if anywhere I'm at, if I'm in the brink of trouble, somebody in here is supposed to sponsor me. It's the group's primary purpose to sponsor the addict who walks into the meeting. Until they get enough courage, man. Because you know, you come in here, you coming from the dark, trying to come to the light, and a lot of times sponsorship is not an option. That's why it's most important that the group be an informed group. So the group rock with me. I got the sponsor. I got the network. I love my network. And they told me how to be a man. They told me, like, hey, Les, man, you ain't got to, you know, keep lying to yourself. Hey, Les, like, you know, you ain't got to manipulate. You ain't got to cheat no more. Like, Les, man, you can be yourself. Now, y'all got to forgive me. From time to time, music plays in my head and interrupts the message. But y'all remember the song, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself? Yeah, that's what them brothers helped me do. Thank you for letting me be myself, Ed. Thank you for letting me be myself, Kenny. Thank you, Rick. Thank you. But what I'm talking about here now, sponsorship is real important. Because if I don't got a sponsor, I'm sponsoring a fool. I'm sponsoring me. And when sponsorship has allowed me to feel and absorb and build in my spirit where people can pour into my spirit, man. I'm talking about where people pour good information through their experience, strength, and hope on how to get through, man. Prime example, I got here through 2007, 2008, man, I was burned a child. Direct result of the disease of addiction. He took a 357 magnum and stuck it in his mouth and blew his head off. I kept coming to the meetings, y'all. Predecessor told me, hey, Les, like, you know, sit down and learn to rock with it. You're not the only one. So I kept coming, man. I couldn't hear y'all. I just kept coming. 2009 happened again. Another one of my sons went down to Baltimore, Washington Parkway out in the area that I live in. Direct result of the disease of addiction. Killed himself in a high-speed chase with the police. Using felt like a good idea at that time. I just didn't use. I listened to the experience, strength, and hope of the predecessor. This is how it worked, y'all. Because if you're going through something in here and you think you're the only one, you've gone lost your mind. You see how many people down here in Ocean City? You see how many fickled up people God put together to be able to help us get on the right path? So I got through that, man. I'm also the addict, even when I was in the cardboard box. I'm going to run through this real quick because I'm going to get back to some steps. I'm going to get with some literature, whether y'all like it or not. I'm also the addict, man, who the fourth step talk about being in love for all the wrong reasons. While I was in that cardboard box, I left a wife in the house with the white picket fence, the Rockwell, and all that stuff. My drug of choice told me it was a good idea to leave and go out to the streets. That's why I ended up in that cardboard box. And she had a big button smile. You know, that's what I usually like to go for back then. I didn't have any other, you know, was nothing else real spiritual about that. I was chasing body parts. And I married and had kids. And when I left the treatment center, right, because I'm an addict from the treatment center, treatment is not a requirement around here. But I didn't know how to cut the light switch off, so I decided that, you know, going to treatment would be a good idea. When I came home, I wanted to engage back with that relationship, that marital relationship. And in spite of all the information that I learned in the treatment center and all the meetings that I went to while I was in that particular transition of my life, the decision was complete. I went back home. I stayed there 72 hours. In the 72 hours time, y'all, I would love to tell you that the love was rekindled. But what happened was, I saw my kids. I hadn't seen them in a long time and told them Daddy was home. They hugged me, loved me up. And then probably the second day, man, you know, the horny horns jumped out. You know, there's a dude that lived with me. He still think he's romantic, you know. He think he's handsome. So the second day, man, tucked the kids away. Thought it was a good idea to put some Barry White on. Y'all know Barry White. Practice what you preach. I was ready. Whew. Low self-esteem, guilt, and all that stuff got with me, man. I went and took a shower, and I went up trying to position myself on the bed, you know, to make myself more attractive. And she came around the corner. She said, "Baby, I'll be right back." She came around the corner with a fifth of Hennessy and two shot glasses. And she told me, "This ain't gonna take long." I'm talking about somebody who I admired and thought that I loved. I'm talking about right off the gate, man, the disease showed me that he was still trying to have power over my life. I left that situation. And thank God for me listening to those meetings and that part of my transition. I went to the meeting. It's one of the most powerful things you can do when you get in the meeting. I'm less than I'm at, and I'm in trouble. And those people guided me to another form of transition where I stayed there until I met my new current wife. She's a God-fearing woman. I love her. We do the best we can with one another's time. We don't try to put shackles on each other's feet. We allow one another to do what God allows us to do. And so another chapter of my life unfolded. You know, second step talk about to be restored to a place where the disease and incumbent sanity are no longer controlling your life, right? It was real clear to me that I was crazy as heck going through all of that. Today I just don't choose to practice a lot of unspiritual principles. You know, I try to stay in operating out of the power who I choose to call God, right? You know, coming down here to Ocean City today, this week, I came down this weekend with some friends. And I was sitting on the balcony, I didn't even tell them this. But I'm going to tell you this, how powerful this disease is. And I've shared a lot of places. This is not uncharted territory for me. I understand the power behind the podium. The disease told me just 24 hours ago, "Let's go ahead and jump." It said, "Go ahead and jump off the balcony, Les. You don't have to work with Narcotics Anonymous no more. You ain't got to worry about praising God no more. You know, you can just work for me." And I said to myself, wow, where did that come from? Because out of all of this information down here, and all of these people with the experiences, and I like to think that inside of me, and I know inside of me, because I'm behind podiums and bigger than this outside of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I know it's a light inside of me, right? And I know who's working in me. But somewhere along the line, the disease told me to jump. I left out the hotel room so early this morning, it was kind of rude. I apologize to the brothers who were with me. But I just couldn't talk about it, you know. It's important that as I continue to grow, man, that I be around people who can help sharpen my iron. Now, y'all ready for a little bit? Let's go out this Living Clean group. Matter of fact, my home group, hey home group member, is the Living Clean group. We meet every Sunday at 4:30. And we meet down here off of Rhode Island Avenue in Hinesville, Maryland. Good group. I love it. I just recently joined that group. So when we work in the steps, right, I often hear people say, "It's impossible to miss God." Right. Right out the gate, it talks about it. You better find a God who can understand. We always talk about the message is hope. So what is hope, y'all? A feeling of expectation and desire for things to happen is hope, right? A feeling of trust. I'm just trying to segue into a little spiritual stuff where maybe you guys can understand a little bit deeper that we're not just down here for a fashion show for real. We're not here for that. We're not here for, you know, let me pick a dude, let me pick a girl. We're really not here for that. We're here to carry a message of hope and the promise of freedom. It didn't say that some addict. It said that any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way of life. It talked about our God of our understanding. I just choose to call him Jesus Christ. You know, I used to hide behind the podium and on this venue and didn't want to share that. Didn't want to share about my Christian fortitude. Our 11th step talks about it, but I'm going to stay right here. The second step, I'm going to walk slow. The second step talks about being restored to sanity. Our third step talks about we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. Now, the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and we talk about we don't care as long as it's loving and care, and it's not you. And I believe that. But for this addict, y'all asked me to share. I didn't send no CD. I didn't do none of that. For this addict, it's real important that I operate out of that power. Because, listen, man, the disease of addiction is so powerful that you can be doing wrong, right in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, carrying a message that you think is hope, the expectations of hope. And the next thing you know, you become not the power of attraction. You become a power of that negative force. I thought that's what we were trying to get away from, was the negative force. But anyway, going on. Fourth step, man. Fourth step is real important for me. I got in touch with a lot of stuff in the fourth step, man. Not just the stuff from my yesteryear. It's important that you got a sponsor doing the fourth step. I already talked about you should have a sponsor doing step work, period. Because, see, you can hit some highs and lows in your own personal story, then if your sponsor ain't worked the fourth step, he'll never be able to get you back. I mean, you know all that pain, that guilt, that shame. And you know, one of the most important things, I heard it last night, and it's true, and I'm not mimicking. One of the most profound things that when I shared a lot of stuff about fourth step with my sponsors, he told me to. And it made me more open to be able to go to the fifth step, man. And the fifth step is powerful. Admit to God and to yourself and another human being. See, all of this stuff you're going to need, man. Because right about now in the fifth step, going on any farther, is where you're going to need that God and your understanding. Because now it's getting deep. Now, after the fifth step, I'm going to look at me and the defects of character that's in me. I've already proven to myself it's impossible for me to see me coming. So I got to have a God, the God from the third step, the God that I had to work with in the second step, to make sure that I was operating on the positive power, not the negative power, to be able to complete the sixth step before I could humbly ask him to do the seventh step. And I guess what I'm saying, now, some of you might be thinking I'm babbling, and I'm really not struggling with the topic, but I need to tell you this, man, that the God of my understanding is real. Because I'm going through a lot of stuff right now, man. I'm not the addict in the cardboard box no more. My mom is she's real sick. And God took me, I'm talking about the last we came first, to be her primary care provider. It's difficult watching the person that you've done so much to hurt so bad. She can't, her hands are locked like this now. She has hiatal hernia, diabetes, and a whole lot of host of other stuff, man. And every day I try to do the best that I can. I can remember not trying to be there for mama. Just wasn't going to be there. I'm talking about what the program has done for me. This is how it works. Because I can tell you this. If you come in here and all you wanted to do was stop using like me, that's fine. But if you work these steps and you apply them to your life and you take them in your belief system, and you draw faith in a higher power, I guarantee you your life will change, because it has for me. I'm no longer less the addict, the bum, the derelict. I'm a responsible member of society today, right? But it's been difficult, man. My father just recently retired. We own a family business, man. See, I can't tell you I came from the projects. I had the swing set in the backyard, the mini bike, and all that stuff, man. And I walked away from it because, you know, I was chasing the people with the big white walls. The people had the big antennas on the car, the pimps on the corner with the hats. I chased all that stuff, man. But today, I got to tell you, with Dad retired, you're looking at a business owner. Now, how does a guy go from a cardboard box? That all he wanted to do was just stop using. Have employees that I'm responsible for today. Have a mother that she can't even write the checkbook, I got the checkbook. have a father who's retired. He's got prostate cancer. I found out in the fourth step that I hated my father, and I found out why, for all the wrong reasons, just because he left my mama. Me and my dad are my best friends today. But I want to share something of the living cleaning book. Right. Because I believe in the liturgy. It talks about surrender. Right. It says, each time we surrender, we find once more that the desperation that drives us to our knees fuels our passion. It says, our lives change, man. Now, I didn't believe it at first. I just didn't believe it. I saw a lot of y'all running around here, and I came in here with the same faulty belief system, because some of us, you know, we still got the big white wall ties, and we got the gator shoes, we got the mink coat, we got all that. We got all that in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And sometimes you got to be careful not to tap into the illusion or the spiritual principles that particular material item might give you. You got to do some soul searching in here, man. Our 11th step talks about it, man. It said God won't force his goodness on you, but you'll receive it if you ask, right? So nonetheless, you got to be careful what you didn't ask for. Lest you ask to be set free from bondage. When you ask less that you wanted some things back, right? You get the things back, then you start losing some things. You still got to call on me. And now I'm at a point right now, even with a God in my life, that some of this stuff is burdening me so heavy that I, one more time, still can't do nothing but trust God. It ain't child in the liturgy. He already proved it to me early on when he took my sons home. When he said, let you keep going to that place, because after all, you can't see me. I'm going to send you there so you can see me. So I'm in a place one more time, man, where the burdens of life, man, are heavy, but the burdens of life are the things that some of us strive for. And we talk about success. Some of us strive for success in finance. Got that. Some of us strive for success in a house and monetary stuff. Got that. Can you stand to be blessed when he give you all this stuff, Les? Are you going to abandon me and not understand that I'm the power that's driving your life? And if you don't serve me, whether it's behind the podium or Narcotics Anonymous, or whether it's in the community, then I'll take it from you again and put you one more time back in that fetal position so you can understand where I really am. A lot of times we walk around and don't understand, talking about all some bad luck. I don't believe in luck. A lot of times we run around and talking about, man, I'm just not so fortunate as you. We all got the power. He brought us to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. He shows you your first step. They say your first step is the only step you really got to get right. And they say we were powerless. After getting to this point, you're no longer powerless. And then the 11th step free you up to find a God of your own understanding. You don't believe me, right? Let's go 11 steps, though. We're going to miss 6, 7, 8, 9. Thank y'all get the clues right now. I'm going to start off right here on page 109. Some of us in here, we study and journal through this stuff. We go outside and touch our spirits with this stuff. Page 108. And this is how it works. Step working, God said. These clues. Time you get here, we had a lot of clues about the nature of our higher power, or perhaps the primary factor in determining our spiritual path. And I'm going to stop right there for a second, because 7 steps is where you find out about the path you want to ride on. It says, many of us have found that the spiritual path of our childhood does not mesh with the truths that we found in the steps. It say, for instance, we sense that God is vast and open, and the spirituality we have been exposed to in our past suggests that God was confined and confining. Any type of thing to get to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, don't want to say God, don't want to listen, man, we really, my sponsor made it clear to me before you think I'm talking about some religion in here. Right? I'm talking about my spiritual path. If you don't got one, get one, whatever the case may be. But my sponsor told me right off the top. He said, listen, Len, we don't care about or who you serve. As long as it ain't you, it could be Baptist, Catholic, Buddhist, monk, whatever the case may be. But you better find out who it is, and you better understand that God is the governor of your life, and you better nurture it just like a small baby. Right? So check it out. It says, if we sense that our higher power cares for us in very personal, individual ways about each one of us, a belief system that presents a distant, unknown, unknowable, alien force may not work for some of us. So a lot of times the rules are not doctrinomous, man. With all these miracles sitting in there, we keep the doors open, we keep the light burning for that addict. That addict come in. But it's a shame if you don't know what God you're working with. And it's okay, because this is the last house on the block. You work with whatever one you want. And it says, while some of us need new paths, others have found that just the opposite are true. And this step will be explored in more deep of thoughts through a spiritual path for your child. This is the part that's really, really important to me. Because this is in our step workout. You know, I hear a lot of stuff, and I see a lot of stuff, and I tell my sponsors all the time, I say, listen, man, be careful. You can get free in the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, but everything you see there is not sound so good. I hate to be that way, because I love each and every one of y'all. Some of y'all are mirror images of what not to do for me, and what to do, right? And say, it is possible that through our step work, We've healed the resentments that held against our religious institutions, right? And as a result, are able to return to those institutions with an open mind. I'm one of those people, right? I can't push my God on you. But a lot of times when people tickle me, when we talk about, you can't say Jesus Christ, you can't say this and that in the meeting. Well, wait a minute. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? If God is the governing force behind this program, you know what I mean? And whether it's being your step work, you know what I mean? Or whether it be in the means of Narcotics Anonymous and you acknowledge yourself as an addict, right? And you say, this is what I'm working with. Why is it so bad? I know they probably ain't gonna ask me to come back again. But it's okay, I'm not here for you. I understand who's God in my life today, and I'm not perfect, man. I'm not trying to beat nobody up about the God that you might or might not have. But here's the thing, but you still talking about you doing step work. Are you really doing step work? Check this out. We talk about the spiritual awakening in the 12th chapter. I know I got 5 minutes. Let me hurry up, get this off. Because this might not sell. It don't make a difference. It'll go out there in that river as far as I'm concerned. But look, it says spiritual awakening. A lot of times we give a lot of people bad information around here. Talking about no major decisions in the first year. Pay your bills, don't pay your bills. Major dang going decision, don't you think? Take care of your kids, don't take care of your kids. Major decisions, don't you think? I understand where it comes from for some of those sensitive and those real messed up addicts, such as like I was. But yet still, man, we got to stop beating a new baby up, man. I heard it early on today, and I agree with it. We got to go ahead and start teaching them. Teaching them what this program is about. This is a program of learning, man. I mean, I understand where it came from. I understand our grandfather fellowship. I understand all of that, man. But what I'm talking about, man, listen, if you don't believe that you got here through a power greater than you, who are you choose to call God, you've gone lost your mind. It tickles me when people talk about, I earned my seat in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Well, how'd you do that, Les? How'd you do that, man? All I did was some dysfunctional stuff and I got removed. One no Narcotics Anonymous came in the crack. I was, yeah, he brought y'all to the box. But it was a divine intervention through God for somebody to be in power. So a spiritual awakening, right? An awakening is just that, an awakening. We still have to get out of bed. Some people awaken just for a minute and doze off again, right? If we want to stay awake and alive, if we want the miracle of recovery to continue to unfold in our lives, we find ways to put the awakening into action. A lot of times we talk about, I'm coming to the convention, you ain't did no work in the community, you ain't did nothing for another social group, you ain't did nothing with your kids. I know, because I used to work in the mental health field, and I used to work with the kids that everybody threw away. Am I lying? the 14, 18 year old kids that you're talking about you parenting, I'm guilty too. But I mean, we gotta do better, because sometimes we get to a plateau like this where we don't want our kids because they coming, y'all. And we better have the right information for them. They coming, y'all. We don't want them to come in because we don't want them to see who we sleeping with. And we don't want them to see how really messed up mom and daddy is, even though we know how to treat them like dirt. I'm talking about me. I got a son down in Florida who came in the room to knock out and said, God, thank God for somebody giving him the right information down there. I done already lost two of them. So it's important, man, that we do our literature, that we sharpen one another's awareness, man. Because the literature says if we don't continue to do this stuff, we go back to sleep again. It's a heck of a thing going back to sleep again. You got some brand new jeans, a new car in the parking lot, and you got bills that when you leave Ocean City, that are pink. And come to the meeting and talk about, I'm all right, though. So I don't know, man. I know I was all over the place just now. He gave me 5 minutes. I could go longer. But it's real important that I say this, man. That if you're in this room here with me tonight, this afternoon, God set the stage. You don't believe me? I said it when I opened up. Look behind you. I don't know about you, but if I don't get back the disease of addiction with what he's given me, program with Narcotics Anonymous, and my outside programs, church, and self-help groups and stuff that I do, and I do them religiously, I'm sorry if you don't like that, I would think I could go out there. I would think I could go in that beautiful picture behind me, and I can walk on water. Now, I don't know about you, man. That's just a light version of how sick my disease would take me. So I hope somebody got something out of that. I know it's a beautiful day to recover. There's plenty of other workshops. I didn't get a chance to acknowledge the newcomer. The microphone spooked a lot of people. They don't even know that they were supposed to sit in here and hear a message. And I'm not boasting about me. I say things with boldness because I know that the woman in front of me and the man you see in front of you definitely working on, not you, but ourselves. So with all that said and done, man, I'm going to get out the way of this podium, and I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to pray that my spirit be healed throughout the rest of this weekend so that I can be able to enjoy myself in a natural state. And I want to thank y'all for letting me be myself again. Thanks for having me.